Lovely, and a very warm welcome to everybody. As you can see, I'm looking around the building because we now have more people back in for the 10:30 service, and it's lovely to welcome each one of you here this morning. But can I tell you, what a week we've had. You may have noticed during the week, I think it was Wednesday morning, there was, maybe you didn't suffer this, but there was a power cut. And most of us wouldn't have really noticed. Our power went off and then it came back on again, and we probably thought no more about it, as did we, until Wednesday lunchtime at the start of our new Wednesday lunchtime services, when we suddenly discovered we had no audio, no computers, no projectors, no ability to do anything at all here in the main church sanctuary, which, as you can imagine, bearing in mind we want to broadcasts on a Sunday to our services, that left us with an enormous problem. And so we couldn't get an engineer out until Friday afternoon, and they really didn't know what could have happened because everything had basically stopped. So what did we do? Well, on Thursday and Friday, largely falling to Ian, we pre-recorded an entire service so that we could make sure that at least on Sunday morning we were able to send something out, albeit not live. And so Thursday and Friday, as you know, online services take a bit longer than normal. We pre-recorded, we put everything together, and we were ready. And Friday afternoon, almost last thing, we got a message to say that they had managed to get the system working. So, sigh of relief, we are able to broadcast live this morning, which is wonderful, but little things cause huge problems. But do you know what? In all of this, God continues to be with us. He continues to give us our strength. He continues to give us the energy that we need to overcome what was seemingly quite an innocent problem, which caused no end of problems. But do you know, we're here today to worship God, to praise Him, to declare that He is our Lord, our Father, our God. In Luke chapter 8, it says this in verses 38 and 39. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." And the man went away, and he told all of the town about how much God has done for him. And I'm sure all of us here, whether you're watching at home, you're watching, or you're live here in the building, all of us have the opportunities and the many, many ways that we can talk about how much God has done for us. It's one of the things we learned in the Talking Jesus course, how much God has done for us. And we're going to remind ourselves of that as we sing our first song this morning, Amazing Grace. He has done so much for us. He has given us His amazing grace. Thank you. Wow, let's pray. Father God, as we just think about those words of Your amazing love, Your unending grace, the fact that we can stand before You knowing that You have set us free, our chains have gone. We are Your children, Your sons and Your daughters, free to come before You and proclaim You our Abba Father, our God, our Daddy. That relationship that we have with You one-on-one. Yes, we are part of a family, but Lord, our relationship is with You, between You and between me, between each one of us and You individually. And for that, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your amazing love. We thank You for Your amazing and unending love and grace that means that we can come to You. As we continue in our worship, Lord, we continue to lift our praises to You. Amen. And Psalm 111 says this, praise the Lord. And that's what we've started to do throughout our sung worship, and we're going to continue that as we continue with the psalm. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the land of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Wow. In those few verses, in those 10 verses from Psalm 111, we are reminded indeed of just how glorious God is, just how majestic he is, just how much he has his compassion on us, his people, just how much we need to come before him and declare him as majesty. And we do that with our next song, Here I Am. Here we are. And here is our great God with us in all that we do. One of the things that we did for the pre-recorded service, as ever, was to record me waving. And here I am, I'm waving. It's lovely to have people waving back to me in the building. And I know that a number of you will be waving back at me in your homes. I even had an apology from someone to say that they wouldn't be able to wave this week because they were traveling this morning. So it was really nice to hear. But do you know one of the things when we came, and we've been here now just over 5 years, one of the things we really noticed when we came was that we ended up starting our ministry at a season of great rejoicing for a number of our church family. And 5 years on, inevitably, we continue as we celebrate with family members. And I am delighted. I will probably be told off when I speak to them early in the week. But I am delighted this morning with the picture that's going to go on screen to be able to celebrate with Gordon and Anne on behalf of the church their blue sapphire wedding anniversary. Now, I didn't know what blue sapphire was, but it's to celebrate 65 years of being together. Anne and Gordon, on behalf of the family of Romford, we congratulate you. We want to just share our love with you. And we know that if we'd been able to meet together, we would be doing this in such a different way to the way that we are. But for now, I want to be able, on behalf of the church family, to say that your certificate will get to you. And in the meantime, I'm going to pray now for you. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed acknowledge just how faithful you have been through the lives of both Anne and Gordon. As they look back later this week on all that they have lived through and experienced as a couple, Lord, we know that in the highs and the lows, in the good times and the times which have perhaps been more challenging, through it all, they have been able to declare that you have been there with them. We thank you for your faithfulness to them. We thank you that they have been able to declare your greatness and your compassion and your love and your strength in their individual lives, but in their lives as a couple and in the many, many ways that they served you during these years. Father God, as later this week they reach this milestone of 65 years, Lord, we pray that as they continue in their married life together, that Lord, you will continue to bless them and keep them, sustain them and strengthen them, give them the energy they need and the continuing presence in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for them as a church, as a family. Lord, they have touched so many lives. They have blessed so many people. They have ministered with you, using them in so many different ways over these years. And Lord, we thank you for each and every one of those instances, each one of those lives that they have touched, each of the ways that you have used them to touch others and to show your love to each person they have come across. Lord, we pray that you will bless them, particularly this week. Sustain them, we pray. And we give you thanks for them. Amen. I know that they have regularly, as I indicated in the prayer, been able to talk about God's faithfulness in all the years that they have been married. And we're going to be reminded of your faithfulness, God, God's faithfulness to us, as we sing our next song, Faithful One.
We apologize to you at home who did not realize what, we don't know what's happening there, but it wasn't working. Anyway, for the second time this week, Hayley's coming to do the notices.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, for the second time this week, actually technically third time, because I did go wrong when we were recording, so let's see if we go better this time. You should have all received your notice sheets. If you don't, please do contact Ruth in the church office and she will be able to add you to our mailing list. The Tuesday prayer meeting is meeting via Zoom at 8 p.m. The link is on the notice sheet and also the meeting code. All are welcome. The Journey study group is meeting via Skype on Tuesday. So please do take part in that if you're able to, or contact Matt for further information. Youth Church is meeting today at 4 o'clock till 5 o'clock here in the building. If you have a youth who would like to come but hasn't yet signed up, it's not too late. You can either contact Hannah now or you could just turn up at 4 o'clock and Hannah will complete the booking details for you as you arrive on site. There is also a virtual holiday club taking place this week between the 3rd of the 7th of August. Again, the link is on the notice sheet. Sounds quite good. Shame I'm working. But please do, if you want to find out more information, please follow that link. We do have the opportunity to be in the building twice this week to worship. We have got a Wednesday lunchtime service at 12:45. And we also have our 10:30 service here. You will need to book for both of those places. The booking details are on the notice sheet. And alongside that, you will need to agree to follow the guidelines that we have taken from the government, such as maintaining social distancing and keeping face coverings on at all times, covering your mouth and nose. But if you would like to attend the building for those services, please do contact the booking details and book yourself a place. Thank you.
Thank you, Hayley. We thank all who have been giving to the church regularly through online processes, sending in checks, and now congregation arriving, dropping the offerings in the boxes as you arrive or leave from the services. This is very well received and enables us to keep functioning as a church. Let's give thanks to God for our offerings. Lord, we thank you that we have so much that we can thank you for. And Lord, we bring you our offerings today. And Lord, we pray you will use them for your glory, that you will be about transforming lives, helping those in need. And so, Lord, we give you our offerings as an act of our worship. Amen. I thought it's good if we just see one of our mission partners. And as a church, we are a very keen supporter of BMS World Mission, formerly known as the Baptist Missionary Society, but they don't call themselves that nowadays. BMS World Mission, we have two sets of link missionaries, one who work in Bangladesh and another who work in East Asia. And we're happy to and delighted to be supporting them year by year as we give a substantial amount of money to BMS World Mission as one of our mission partners. And I thought it'd be good if, just as part of this service, we remind ourselves about how we support BMS World Mission and what they've been doing as a result of responding to the coronavirus crisis. Please watch this video.
Hello, my name is Ruth Whiter. I look after the website at BMS World Mission, and I'd just like to invite you to pray with me today for the global response to the coronavirus crisis. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the response to the virus around the world. We pray that God will enable the work of our partners to continue where possible, and that our workers who are actively fighting the virus will remain healthy. We pray for BMS mission workers and UK staff, for those who have travelled back to the UK, that they are able to continue their crucial work remotely. We pray for people spending time in quarantine and self-isolation. We pray that they might receive the support they need and that they might stay safe. We praise God for the commitment of those in voluntary isolation, that they will play a real part in slowing the spread of the virus. We pray for governments and world leaders globally. May the Lord bless them with wisdom. We pray that they will make proactive decisions that will benefit their countries and the global community. We pray that God will slow the spread of the virus. In the name of Jesus, we pray that those who are ill will be healed, and pray that God will bless the work of the people and organisations who are working on a treatment. We pray especially for the medical workers around the world who are risking their own health to treat the most vulnerable. We ask that they will stay healthy and that their work will be fruitful. Amen. Before you go, I just wanted to introduce you to one of my colleagues, Rachel Conway Dole. Rachel works partly for the Baptist World Alliance, partly for BMS, and she coordinates the Baptist World Alliance Forum for Aid and Development. And in that role, she is playing a crucial part in coordinating the worldwide Baptist response to coronavirus. Because of our amazing network of local contacts, we're able to provide a coordinated response that's intelligent and uses local knowledge and avoids duplication. I'm really proud to be part of that global response to this pandemic. If your church, if you support BMS, you're already helping that global response. These are just a few of the things that your support is doing at the moment. You're providing PPE for medical workers in different places, for example, in Chad, in Guinea-Bissau Hospital. You're giving lots of food support to vulnerable people, particularly at the moment in India and Sri Lanka, to people whose livelihoods have been affected. This is a picture of food being given out in Sri Lanka, but there's a lot of that happening in India too and other places. You're supporting the mental health needs of medical workers and patients affected by the pandemic. And you're building capacity among churches, communities and agencies so that people can help themselves. Again, this is G2 Hospital in Chad, where we've been helping them with equipment and preparedness for the pandemic. And there are now cases in Chad, so please, your prayers for them would be appreciated.
Hopefully that's given you a feel of what our mission partner, BMS World Mission, is doing as a response to the coronavirus and one of the organisations we actively support year by year. Please pray for the whole of their ministry. If you want to find out more, their website has lots of information about the work they are doing, which is www.bmsworldmission.org. I knew I'd get there in the end. We're going to come in a moment to prayers of intercession. And we've been praying for some people, and I thought it'd be great just to give ourselves a bit of an update of some of those on the notice sheet, and things have moved on since the notice sheet. So, praise God, Margaret Griffiths' sister Doreen is now back at home. An answer to prayer there. Linda Flack is doing well, and keep praying for her. Please pray, continue praying for John Wright. He had a heart procedure on Thursday, just checking with Vicky, but on Friday evening he was returned home, and he is at home recovering well, and it was great for Vicky to be able to chat with him yesterday. John, the love from your church today. And addition to the notice sheet, but Iris Hooper is going to have a procedure on her hip on Friday, and we would pray for her as she goes for that. Let's come to God and bring our prayers of intercession. Father, we have a list before us of people who need a touch from you. But Lord, firstly, we want to praise and thank you for the significant answers of prayer that we have seen. As people have been touched by your Holy Spirit, and your healing has poured out on them. And so, Lord, we bring you all on the notice sheet. And Lord, we pray for them. We particularly pray for those who are undergoing hospital procedures this week, for Iris Hooper and for Mike Simpson. We pray, Lord, your hand upon them and others who are going for procedures that we don't necessarily know about or can't publicize. Lord, be with them. And I'm using a prayer for healing, which feels so appropriate right now. And maybe as you are at home or wherever you are, maybe you feel you need a touch from God. Maybe you're struggling mentally, physically, or in any other way. As I pray this prayer, I'm praying it for you on your behalf. God our Father, as disciples of Jesus, we join him in his ministry of healing. He is the Savior of the world, and nothing in our world is beyond the touch of your love and grace. We seek now to make here in the church, in our homes, wherever we are watching this service this morning, a healing space. We come with the fragility of faith and the burden of our sinfulness. And we know our capacity to hurt and damage, yet in this healing space, there is no greater power than the compassion and mercy of our Lord and Savior. Nothing in our past or present is greater than the gift of your presence with us now. May this healing space be a place of your blessing. And with us come people haunted by their past, people obsessed by their present, people dreading their future. They are poor in spirit. With them, may we see your kingdom among us. With us come people crushed by war and terror, people bruised by oppression and persecution, people wounded by bigotry and ignorance. They mourn. With them, may we receive comfort. With us come people weary of their pain, people burdened by their fear, people worn down by distress. They are meek. With them may we receive the gifts of your goodness. With us come people frustrated by complacency, people grounded down by manipulation, people hemmed in by despair. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so do we. May we be filled. With us come people caring for the wounded, people holding the hand of the dying, people weeping with the grief-stricken. They are merciful, and so are we. May we receive mercy. With us come people struggling with doubts, people confused by questions, people diminished by the uncertainty of others. They are the pure in heart, and so are we. May we see God. With us come people who have turned the other cheek, people who have stood in the way of hatred, people who absorbed another's violence. They are the peacemakers, and so are we. May we be called the children of God. With us come people who are excluded because they are different, people who speak the truth when others do not, people who peace through justice. They are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and so are we. May we receive your kingdom among us. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, who taught us to say when we pray. And if I can ask those in the church, if you want to say this quietly rather than out loud, that would be helpful. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is that great hymn, asserting our belief, our certainty in God, in Christ alone, my hope is found. Isn't that great? Nothing can separate us power from the power of God, including coronavirus. That can't separate us from the power of God. We're continuing our series in the book of Joshua, and our reading this morning is read by David Suchet, otherwise known as Poirot, and it's starting to read from Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, before we hear God's word preached.
Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam, in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight."
Consecrating, because tomorrow God's going to do amazing things among you, and a sense of getting ready. But now this is the time where the rubber hits the road. All the preparations have been done. And those who are strategists, those who think they work out how things happen, will have probably gone through a whole risk assessment. Well, when I see how God does things in scriptures, often I've got questions. Why did you do it that way, God? Why did you make it so much harder? Why don't you do things in the way I would think you should do them, God? And I've got so many unanswered questions in life. Here are just a few. I never found out who let the dogs out. I don't know where's the beef. And I certainly don't know how to get to Sesame Street. I always question why eggs are packaged in flimsy card cartons, but batteries are secured in plastic that it's so tough you can't get them out. The question why women can't put on their mascara with their mouth closed is an interesting one, and why the word abbreviated is so long. When you look at the contents of lemon juice, it's made with artificial flavour, yet the washing up liquid is made with real lemons. I question the need to sterilise the needle for a lethal injection. And why do you have to put 2 cents in, but there's only a penny for your thoughts? What's happened to the extra penny? Questions like, why does the alphabet song and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star have the same tune? And you're now questioning why you are singing that, just to see if I'm correct on that. Why is dyslexia so hard to spell, and phonetic not spelt the way it is pronounced? And why does God do strange things? As the Israelites take the next step into the promised land, to cross and go in to take the move they have been waiting 40 years for. They are commanded to put God in front. When you make a plan to take a big step in life, maybe you do, or to take a risk, and you know it's going to be a risk, what do you do? Well, as a church, in the last few weeks, we have been forced by the government to do risk assessments for everything. Risk assessments to have a congregation in church. What do we have to do to mitigate and against any problems? And if we find a risk, we have to take every step to put something in place to stop that risk becoming a reality. So we have got very used to risk assessments. There's a feeling here that Joshua didn't do the risk assessment. Because if you were going to risk crossing the Jordan, you would put so many safeguards in place. Just take a pause of the story here. You see, maybe the next chapter in our lives, we're trying to find a bulletproof plan that cannot fail, a security that will never cause us any anxieties. Maybe we're so concerned about the future that we are trying to just make sure we tick every sentence, we make sure that everything is in place, that we are secure. And maybe as we think as a church, with all the disruption, that we are challenged to put safeguards in place and take no risk whatsoever. Just make sure everything is secure. And there's a temptation at these times to just get down, maybe put our head into the trenches and wait for it all to go, and then to start again. But with the people of God, with people of faith, throughout the whole of Scripture, there is a counterintuitive response from the people of God. And yet, the God's people, the people of faith who do it in God's way, they're the ones who are successful, who have the victory. And as we go forward in this story, I want us to just pause in our mind of all those thoughts we've had in the last week of what plan should I make for my security? What plan should I make to make sure that I am protected from any harm, from anything like a virus ever again? And I want to ask you, where has God featured in that plan? Where has God featured in your decisions that you have made? Where has faith featured in everything that we have decided? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying just go and act as if there's no coronavirus. We have addressed that previously to say, look, we're not here to put God to the test. But we are here as people of faith to listen to God, to hear from God, and to follow God. The Israelites had wandered for 40 years because they had failed to hear and trust God totally. At times they'd gone away from God totally and started worshipping idols. So at times they'd stopped worshipping God and they complained and they were bitter because it was not going their way. And here at the point of moving into the promised land, and yes, there's a long way to go, they are now challenged again to really, really trust God and put God out in front, to find where God is leading and then to follow. If you were going to lead with an invasion into a hostile land, you would lead with your heaviest equipment, your most frightening soldiers. You would make sure that that moment of surprise was one that would catch everybody out. And as you entered, you would make sure that you had the strongest possible force on the front line. Joshua, in obedience, put God out front. Not an army, but the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God went firm in front. You see, by putting God in front, the victory is not going to be attributed to Joshua. The victory is not going to be attributed to the fine soldiers at the front. The victory was going to be
attributed to God. We see this as a story of David and Goliath, don't we? In Samuel. And in the story of David and Goliath, Goliath, the great big giant, can't be defeated by a man, can't be defeated by a human being. But David goes out and he simply picks up five stones. The whole balance is just wrong. He should never have the victory. But he goes in the power of God, and God gives him the victory. And the victory is attributed to God. Joshua, in obedience, puts God out front. And the people follow. A sense in our planning, in our journey going forward, as individuals and as a church, there is a challenge to put God out in front. Where is God calling you to go? Will you let him lead you? Even if it's counterintuitive on your risk assessment to follow God in that way. Secondly, those carrying the ark led in obedience. It's all very well Joshua giving the commands and saying this is how it's going to happen, but the people had to obey and lead in obedience. The challenge was the followers were going to follow. Those who were Joshua's frontline people, who had the responsibility of carrying the ark, of following it, they had to be obedient. And so they themselves needed to understand and embrace and fully trust God. It's all very well having a leader who trusts God. But Joshua needed the other people to join him in this journey. Therefore, Joshua had spent time giving the vision and telling the people what to do, getting the people to prepare themselves and to go. Very often, we are challenged when God says go. And as we heard those of us who were doing the Talking Jesus course on Wednesday evening just gone, as there's a great call to follow, there is a response. Here I am, Lord. Send him. And I want to say to you, do you know what? God may be calling you to step out in a risky place. God may be calling you to take the lead into a dangerous situation. God may be calling you to trust him totally into the next chapter. And it's all very well thinking, I will follow. But what if God calls you to lead in his presence? Would you go? In all churches, there are those who are the exuberant ones, the excitable ones who go in the front and run ahead. And there are those who sit in the back rows and just question everything. And question every decision and say, well, actually, that's not very sensible. Let me just say, following God is not sensible. Following God is an act of faith. And God may be calling you to take an act of faith. Joshua had his critics. Moses had many of them. They would sit there and criticize and question everything. On my wall in my office, I've got a poster that says, those who say it can't be done shouldn't stop those of us who are getting on and doing it. And Joshua had to identify the people who will trust God and go. Those carrying the ark led in obedience. Thirdly, they allowed God to show his power. Hearing what God's going to do is one thing. Trusting God will do it is another. You see, they'd heard the stories of what God had done. Many of them had experienced in the past with the manna from heaven, but many of the generation that had that had now died off. And so there were stories of the past. Joshua had told the people what was going to happen. God had told Joshua, Joshua had told the people. Now they needed to see God doing that. Very often we don't see God at work because we don't allow him to show his power. We were blessed by Sade on our Talking Jesus course this week, as she talked about her testimony of being out talking to people about Jesus, praying for somebody, and a young child healed on the streets of Stratford through the prayers of Sade. That thrilled me. Thank you, Sade, for sharing your story. And I want to say that we should expect God to do more and more. But if we don't pray, if we don't lay hands on people, socially distanced at the moment, if we don't take steps of faith, we will never see these things happen. We've got to give God the glory and trust God will do what we expect God to do. If you say you have never seen God work, at what points have you allowed God to show his power? You can imagine, pick up the ark. Yeah, we're cross when the waters pass. No, you've got to start the journey. God has said he will. Now start the journey believing God will be faithful. And over the last few months, I have heard so much being said about God is continuing to be there. God is continuing to be faithful. God will make things good. Do we believe that? Let's live like we do. Let's take the steps towards going forward. As a church, God is calling us to find ways of reaching out to the community. And they may be new ways, they may be new ways of doing old things. But we have got to take the steps to believe that God is going to still reach out to the lost, the lonely, and the least. Will you allow God to show his power? And fourthly, the people learn again about the power of God. Because the ones in the front went and saw the power of God, the people were able to follow and see the power of God being shown. I'm grateful for those giants of faith who have in the past led the people of the church and shown God's power. And then others follow and experience because of the giants of faith. If we see God at work, do we say, oh, that was great, and well done, that great church leader or whatever, or do we praise God? The people in this story are about to make the biggest step that God has been promising since their forefathers left Egypt. And as they journey through, they are going to see the power of God at work. They're going to need to see this because they're going to rely on God's power later when they go around Jericho and all those sorts of places. But they need to also recognize it is God's power. All too often when God works, we see people claiming the credit. When God works, let us give God the glory. What do we say in the Lord's Prayer? For yours is the glory, the power. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's God's power. And so as we see miracles and the answered prayers, let us give God the glory. And let us learn again and again about the God who we worship is not a God who is dormant, but a God who is active and transforming lives and healing and helping and supporting and being a part of our everyday experience. The people learnt again about the power of God. Fifthly, the people obeyed and followed. Yes, the leaders had gone before. The priests had gone before. They had seen everything happen. And people started to learn about the power of God. But for the whole tribe, or the whole of the tribes and the people of Israel to enter the promised land, all the people need to obey and follow. When there's a work of God, often there is, behind the scenes, the critical spirit. Where there has been a success, there is those who want to complain. But in this story, the victory comes because the people followed and obeyed what they had been told. This was a whole community, a whole nation following God's command. In the Bible, it talks about a nation that's divided amongst itself will fall, a kingdom that's divided amongst itself will fall. And so the sense of unity amongst the Israelites at this stage was going to be their victory. They had learnt far too often about what disunity brings, complaining brings. Now they have a new sense of optimism that going forward they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we see here the people obeyed and followed. I'm sure there'll be those grumbling. Oh, do I have to walk? Do we have to go further? It's all right here. Let's just stay here. Yes, there will be those. But what we do see is that the people followed. If God is speaking to you, you have a choice to stay where you are or to move with God and see God's victory. But we have to follow and let God have the victory. And that brings me on to my sixth, and you'll be pleased to know, final point. God had this victory. And the people knew it was God, and they continued. God had this victory, and the people knew it was God, and they continued. Yes, in the New Testament, in Hebrews, we have that list of the people of faith. The people of faith who were attributed for being strong and going and taking risks and following God. But not one of them is credited with actually making it happen. They're credited with letting God have the victory through them. And as we go forward, we need to know that God is going to have the victory. And we need to know that God is going to lead us. We need to know that God is going to take us to new places. And although there will be risks, we need to put God out in front and let God be our leader. In the New Testament, as Jesus was calling his disciples, he just said two words, "Follow me." And Simon Peter had messed up and had been reinstated in John chapter 21. The words Jesus said again, "Follow me." And our word to every one of us is, if you want to see the victory of God, if we want to see God extolled, if we want to see amazing things happen, it starts with two words and a calling from Christ: follow me. They put the ark out in front. They put God in front. Will you put God in front of your life and follow where God takes you? And let God take you to places that you don't yet know. Let God take you across rivers and seas that you don't want to cross, and torments that you don't want to go through, to get victories that you don't yet know about. Will you let God lead you? Will you? At this time, as we focus ourselves again in a world that is chaotic, in a world that is questioning, in a world that doesn't know where to go, we know who has the future. As that song says, I know who holds the future, and he guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Will you trust God? Will you let him lead? Joshua, in obedience, put God out in front. Those who God had called led in obedience. They allowed God to show his power, and the people learned again about the power of God, so that then they followed, and then God had his victory, and the people knew it was God. You want to see God at work? You want to see a new future that is God in control? It starts when you put God out in front. You listen to his voice. You hear the invitation, follow me. And you do just that. May God lead us as individuals, but may God lead us as a church. And if God has spoken to you in some way, either through this sermon or through your prayers, and you think it's a word from the church, just let us have it, that we can discern together what God is saying to his church at this time. But it will only be a victory if God is out in front. God bless you. And we sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Because only as we see a vision of God that we have the victory.
And so thank you so much for being with us online or in the congregation this morning. It's been good to have you with us as we have worshipped together. Next Sunday morning, we'll be worshipping again at 6 o'clock this evening online, and you will be able to find that through the normal link. Next Sunday morning, again, we'll be worshipping in the way we have this morning, but that will include a communion. And if you're at home, maybe you would want to find something ready before that service. We'll try and remind you before the service as well next Sunday to share communion with us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. You might want to just pause and hear the song, One More Step Along the World I Go, giving yourself an opportunity to step out with God, letting God be in front.